Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Hello, welcome to the Faith Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you. My guest today is, he's the author of How Old Is Your Church? An Introductory Guide to Catholic Apologetics, Ken Litchfield. Ken, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, William?
Oh, I'm great. It's a pleasure to have you on again. Thanks again for coming back on.
Love being on here with you and sharing the truth of the Catholic faith.
Amen. One thing I want to talk to you about is you did a show a little while back with our friend Gary Machuda about starting an apologetics club. And I think a lot of people may have that idea for their parishes or just maybe like a home group or something like that. But before we get into that, can you tell us why it's important to study apologetics and why it's important to the faith?
Right. So there's one great reason to do apologetics, and it's right there in the Bible, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And so it's right there in the Bible. And if somebody challenges you on the faith, you want to be able to give them a reason why you believe what you believe. And then to give them a reason why you believe what you believe, you need to know what you believe. So it all goes back to the Bible, and it's very foundational. A lot of Catholics are just, you know, they go to church every Sunday and they go through the ritual of the Mass and then they live a secular life the rest of the week. But if they really knew what was going on at Mass and why we do what we do, they would get so much more out of the Mass and live their faith in between Sundays, which is what we really need to do.
All right. So studying apologetics is a part of catechesis, and you're teaching them the faith, and in effect, the faith will change them and they'll be able to defend it and evangelize and all those good things that we're commanded to do then.
Exactly. Once you learn to defend the faith, you automatically learn the faith, and then you get so much more out of it then.
Okay, great. So how does an apologetics club fit into this whole thing?
Right. So a great way to help people learn the Catholic faith without calling it adult catechism is to start an apologetics club. But if you go out and start saying, we're going to start an apologetics club, people are going to be confused about that too, because they think apologetics is about apologizing for the Catholic Church. But that's not what it's about. Apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means an explanation or a defense. So the first thing you need to do is get permission from your pastor, and then you can start advertising in the church bulletin that you're going to start a club on learning and sharing the Catholic faith, or maybe defending the Catholic faith, something along that line.
Okay, so after you get permission, what topics, what's a good recommendation to start off with?
Okay, so once you have, maybe some people signed up that are interested in learning to share and learn about and share the Catholic faith, it's great to have a kickoff event for the club. And you can invite in a good speaker who's a Catholic apologist to explain to, your particular parish members what apologetics is about and why we do it. And then they can go over the definition of apologetics. So you can invite me to come into your parish, or you can go to catholicspeakers.org or .com, and there's a whole bunch of Catholic speakers on there. You can look for somebody who does apologetics, or you can have William come to your parish. He knows a lot about the faith, because when you convert, you have to learn about it to find out why you should become a Catholic.
Very true. So go ahead. So you have this kickoff event. So you invite someone over. You're inviting someone to speak. They're talking about why we defend the faith. So is that first session, the kickoff, kind of like, this is what this group is about, and this is what we plan on doing? Like, what's that look like?
Right. That's exactly the goal. You know, you're trying to build some enthusiasm with these people that are interested in learning about the Catholic faith. And this goes hand in hand with evangelization, because once you know the faith, you can share the faith and help bring people back to church, or help bring people to the church. But the goal you have to keep in mind is that you want to help people get to heaven. You're not trying to win an argument about which church has the correct interpretation of the Bible. You're just trying to being able to explain and defend the Catholic faith. You're not looking for, you know, hour-long debates with people about a topic. You're just trying to explain to people how that they can defend the Catholic faith. You don't have to make it sound real contentious from the beginning. So learning apologetics is not that hard. I learned pretty much on my own. I'd read the Left Behind books and got interested in the rapture. And then Tim Staples and Scott Hahn saved me from falling down the rapture trap. And so I started listening to more and more stuff about the Catholic faith. And I have over 150 playlists on apologetics related material on YouTube. So that's a great resource that people can just tap into right away. Just go to my YouTube channel and you'll find all the playlists there. I listen while I'm working, and that's one way that people can learn without having to actually stop everything else they're doing that in their day and read a book, things like that.
Okay. So when you're starting this group, and those YouTube playlists are fantastic. I mean, there's so much great information on YouTube. Is that one of the things you would go over in the class? Like, you would create a playlist for someone or for the group and say, hey, we're going to watch this one and discuss it. Is that something you would do in these type of clubs?
That's one option. My thought would be, like, people will come to this club from different levels in their knowledge of the Catholic faith. So to start out at a very basic level that anybody can work with, you know, from confirmation students to adults, is to start with my book, How Old Is Your Church? It's written at a very simple level for the regular pew sitter. I leave out all the theological terms so that people don't get overwhelmed. And it's something that, you know, everybody can read and get something out of. And I contrast the Catholic faith with the different Protestant faith traditions and trace their understanding back to its source. So you learn both sides of the issue as you're going through my book. You could have people read like one chapter of my book, and then the next week you get to get together and sit down and discuss it, and maybe even role play on how you would explain the faith to somebody who might challenge you on the particular topic of that chapter. And you can also do like the playlist, YouTube playlists, as supplemental material that people can listen to throughout the week if they have time to listen to that kind of stuff. John Martinoni also has a lot of free downloads that you can listen to. And then there's podcasts, you know, for many people, including you, William, that people can listen to help supplement their learning throughout the week. You know, you can listen to a podcast while you're driving to and from work, things like that. And that way, if you're stuck in traffic, you don't feel like you're wasting time. You're still learning and doing something useful.
Right. So many great podcasts out there. Now, this material that you're discussing in these clubs, do you recommend getting it cleared by your pastor first?
I would say, you know, if you're going to use my book, I would suggest you at least have your pastor read it first. I had our evangelization director at my church read over my book, and he thought it was excellent. He's a convert himself. And many people have left great reviews that it gives a very fair explanation of the faith that is also brief and easy to understand. And that was my goal with the book, that it would be the first baby step in apologetics, because I have 25 chapters in my book, and each chapter could be a book all by itself. But if you give people 25 books and tell them, well, this is what you need to know for apologetics, you know, they're going to say, well, I got better things to do. So yeah. The short chapters in my book that are like about 5 pages, on average, people can assimilate that easily enough, and that'll give them a good start. And then they can go so much deeper after that.
Right. And your book, like you said, it's clear, it's concise, and has a lot of history in it as well, which is something I found fascinating, because I'm a history buff, so I love all the historical stuff. And you show that link with the Catholic Church to the apostles throughout the book. Now, in apologetics, within this club, I know, do you recommend teaching on, I know you said on a basic level, like, are you talking about, like, people, like an RCIA level, or even before that?
There are some RCIA groups that use my book as supplemental material, and it would be definitely a good book for anybody in RCIA to get, because as you're converting to the Catholic Church or coming into the Catholic Church, you might be confronted about why you're becoming a Catholic as opposed to a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or whatever. And because in my book, I explain why you should be a Catholic and how old the Catholic interpretation of the Bible is, that will allow you to give a defense as to why you're becoming Catholic instead of some other Protestant faith tradition.
Okay. Now, within your book, you lay out a lot of arguments, and like we've talked about a few times already, it's a good book to get, it's a good book to study as a group. Why do you think is it important to lay out, I don't know, let's say what Catholics believe and what a certain Protestant denomination believe, like lay out those objections to the faith to answer them in the group? Or do you think that may be too advanced for some?
Well, if you're going to share the faith, people are likely to challenge you on why you believe that particular interpretation. Even people who are not associated with any particular Christian church, let alone, you know, being non-Christian, they'll be looking for a reason why they should accept the Catholic interpretation of the Bible. And because I also give you like early historical references on when Catholics taught the Catholic interpretation of the Bible before the Catholic Church even assembled the Bible, that gives you some ammunition as to why you believe the Catholic interpretation instead of some Protestant faith tradition, or why you should even be a Christian to begin with. That's one of the early chapters in my book as to why you should be a Christian. And I also cover why you should be a Catholic Christian and not just some Protestant faith tradition.
Now, in these apologetics clubs, What do you recommend? Do you invite people within the club to invite visitors in?
Let's see. If somebody is interested in learning about the Catholic faith, yes, you should invite them in. As you're learning to be an apologist, I don't think it's a good idea to invite your Baptist friend over to come and challenge the leader of the class or something like that. That would be like a good example of, you know, where the leader of the class could explain, show how to defend the faith. But that doesn't really teach the people about the faith so much. So that kind of distracts from the purpose of the class, in which you're trying to teach people how to know the faith and defend the faith.
Right. And I wanted to ask that question because I can see people doing that, going to their friends who have huge objections, and just instead of explaining, just inviting them into the class. And I can see that as being a big distraction. So I was always curious to get your thoughts on that.
Right. The leader of the class needs to, you know, keep the meeting focused on the topic. But also there needs to be a time for questions and answers. I'm a big proponent on covering the material and then having question and answer afterward, because sometimes people will have questions along the way that you actually have covered in the material that you're going to be presenting. And when people throw in the questions early, it kind of distracts from the flow of things. So if you get through the material first and then discuss it, you know, have Q&A after that, it keeps things moving along. And, you know, because like if you present something, you're presenting something and then somebody asks a question that you're going to get to, when you get back on topic again and you get to that point where you were going to cover the answer to their question, but you already covered it, it interrupts the flow of the presentation. So do the presentation, then have Q&A. I invite people to, you know, keep pencil and paper handy, or notebook or something. And if they have questions, write them down as they're hearing the presentation. And then we'll get to the questions at the end. Because sometimes, you know, people will write down their question and then they'll get their answer later on in the presentation. And then they don't have that question anymore. Or they might need some follow-up on that question, some more in-depth answer.
Okay. Is there a particular ratio, you know, as far as leader to student within these clubs that you'd recommend?
Not necessarily. You know, if you have like one person and 100 people, you know, that can get kind of bogged down when it comes to the Q&A section, because not everybody can get a chance to get their question out unless you're going to be spending, you know, 3 or 4 hours together. So, you know, I would try and keep it under 50, and you're better off with smaller groups, you know, say 25. But you definitely don't want to turn people away.
Right. Now, would you recommend having...
Well, I was just going to say, if you find the group growing larger and larger, then you should kind of like split up the groups. Either have, you know, at two different times, you know, that might be more convenient for people, or two different rooms, something like that.
Okay. Now, you talk about the leader and having the people within the group. Would you recommend having like some kind of a breakout session so they can talk deeper amongst themselves, or do you think that would be distracting from the group as a whole?
You could do that. You kind of have to go with what works for you. And different people that come to the Apologetics Club may already have different levels of knowledge in the Catholic faith, or even, you know, real world experience with sharing the Catholic faith. So those kind of things can be good if you can have your breakout sessions. But if you have, you know, people that are just, you know, totally, well, maybe not totally oblivious to the Catholic faith, but cradle Catholics that are poorly formed, those are the kind of people that need to get, you know, good solid information, and then have Q&A afterward. In my book, there is a chapter on how you can actually use this information in real life. And I have, you know, it's just a sample of an opening question, but you can say to somebody, you know, what church do you attend, or which faith tradition do you follow? And, you know, they might say that they're from some Protestant faith tradition, or they might be a non-Christian, or they might be a nun, as an N-O-N-E, like no faith tradition. Or they might be a cradle Catholic that doesn't go to church that much. But once you find out where they're at, then you can move on to helping them learn more about the Catholic faith. So after you get their response, you can say, well, or your friend might say something like, I attend Ken Bob's First Baptist New Testament Full Gospel Bible Church. And you can respond to them, you know, have you ever wondered what Christians were doing before they had a Bible? And your friend might answer, we've always had the Bible. And then you can explain to them that the Catholic Church did not establish which early Christian writings would make up the Bible until 382 AD at the earliest. So if you would like to learn a little more about what Christians were doing before they had a Bible, you can read Justin Martyr's First Apology on Christianity to the Roman Emperor Antonius, which was written around 150 AD. And Justin Martyr's First Apology is a great writing to have other Christians read, because it's 200 years before the Catholic Church established the canon of Scripture, and 150 years before Constantine allegedly started the Catholic Church. Read Justin Martyr's First Apology and his Second Apology in Dialogue with Trifo. You know, it is so Catholic, it's hard for people to argue with the Catholic faith as being some later invention. It's obviously very early.
Right. Yeah, Justin Martyr changed my life. When I set out to prove that the early church was not Catholic, and I read Justin's First Apology and read the description of the Mass, and that was the beginning of me coming into the church. So,
yeah, it's, if Justin Martyr doesn't get you going on the right path, you know, I'm not sure what will. You could go to Ignatius's letters, but they're not laid out so systematically like Justin Martyr. And in my book, I have a chart on how the Jewish worship is the foundation of the early Christian worship. And so I have a chart that shows the Jewish worship, including what they did on Friday night, which was their Sabbath Saturday. And then Justin Martyr's description of the Mass, and then the modern Catholic Mass. And I line them up in three columns, so you can go start from the top and go to the bottom and find out what these different groups do. But then you can also read side to side, and like this Jewish practice is like this in Justin Martyr's writing, and then like this in the modern Catholic Mass. And the similarities, you know, are so obvious, it is very easy to understand why the early Christians were Catholic and not doing a Protestant worship service, you know, of praise and singing songs and listening to some readings of the Bible. Right. I have everything all connected together, and it's really helped a lot of people to understand why we do what we do and why it isn't laid out in the New Testament, because the first Christians were Jews. They already knew how to do worship, and Christianity is just an evolution of Judaism. It's not something started from scratch, you know, in 33 AD.
Right. No, and that chart is helpful. You also have a chart of the different churches and when they started and their founders, which is also very helpful. Ken, one last question before I let you go here. How long should these meetings last with the club? you have a recommended time?
Right. An hour is a good limit. You know, people get bored and frustrated after an hour. A lot of people do. But, you know, you may have hardcore members that are willing to stay around and discuss afterward, too. So, you know, set yourself out a block and then of an hour, and then maybe like a half hour after that. And depending on how your group is with Q&A, you may want to set aside like half of your first hour for that, or maybe just 15 minutes. Different people engage at different levels, so you don't have to, you know, there's no hard and fast, you know, method. You have to modify it to fit your audience that you have at your church. But the important thing is to get, you know, a chunk of information to people at each meeting so that they can learn about the Catholic faith and know how to explain it to others.
Okay. And again, Ken's book, How Old Is Your Church? An Introductory Guide to Catholic Apologetics. I can't recommend it enough. It's a great read. I learned a lot reading it, and so is everyone I passed it along to. So, Ken, you did great work on this book. I appreciate your work on that.
Thank you very much. It was a labor of love. I have another 150 writings that can supplement the book. So if you send me an email at kenlitchfield61@gmail.com, I'll be happy to send them to you for free. You can use that to build on after you're done with my book. Or like I said, there's a whole lot of other books, you know, that can build on each chapter of my book. But my book is intended to be the first little baby step for people.
And again, How Old Is Your Church? You can find it over there on Amazon. You can get paperback and ebook. So check it out, everyone. Ken, I thank you so much for coming on today. And can't thank you enough. Thank you.
Thanks for having me again, William.
All right. Well, God bless you. You too.
God bless. Bye.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.com. .app/breadbox